Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Spokespeople Podcast. I am Dave, your host, with our other host.
Also Dave.
And there you have it. Two Daves, no waiting.
What about our special guest, man?
Hey, I haven't even gotten there yet. I'm building into the excitement. You know, it's kind of one of those anticipation things.
Introduce our special guest.
Our special guest is Jamie Big Smiles Schmidt.
Big Smiles.
Big Smiles. We are really happy to have Jamie here. Ken, unfortunately, couldn't make it today. He's decided to take a little vacay. And but we brought Jamie in on this one for a couple of reasons, because as we've said in the past, he's kind of a walking encyclopedia of the it and the no. So interesting conversation that we're going to be having today, because we're so close within the Christmas festivities.
Oh, we're talking about Christmas?
Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah. So this is where we're going to air out the dirty laundry, people.
Is that part of Festivus?
Yeah, remember how they
The airing of grievances. Oh my God, that's so...
Doesn't that happen naturally?
100%.
Is this from a Mel Brooks movie?
No, this is from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, you remember Festivus? Okay. Right. It had like how many components in
Festivus? Oh, there was like 12. Okay. 12 different components to it, and one of them was the airing
of grievances, right?
Which I thought was the best part.
Oh, my God, brilliant.
So, no, what we're going to do is we're going to talk to people about, hey, it is the Christmas season and the holiday season for everybody, and it's that gift-giving time. And if you're like me, and I pray to God you are not, I'm horrible at thinking about getting gifts for people.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. I'm even worse at telling people what I want.
I just have a lot of anxiety left over from my childhood about Christmas, and one of the main anxieties I had was trying to, you know, buy something for, you know, some, you know, person in my family, and I didn't really know what to get them. And plus, you know, your mom gave you like $2 at the mall, you know?
Right.
And so everybody got like a spoon with like some plastic leaves glued onto it or something from some lady selling it off a kitchen tablecloth, you know, in the South Roads Mall, you know?
Yeah, I kind of remember the same thing. I think probably one of my favorite Christmases, and I still remember this, was the Christmas after my first summer at the Caddy Shack when I was a caddy.
How old were you?
I was 11.
You caddied at 11?
I caddied at 11. I had golf bags that were almost as big as me in some cases, carrying for 18 holes. But it was great money for an 11-year-old.
Did you carry them, or do they have little wheel things on?
No, you carried them.
Yeah?
Unless they had a foursome cart, then you just basically ran behind like the peasant that you were. And you would Oh, yeah. They would tee off. You'd run. They'd go to the tee. You'd go halfway. You'd spot all their drives. And then you'd run and mark all the balls. And then you'd hand them the clubs. And then they'd give them back to you. But they paid good money.
I mean, where was this at?
Omaha Country Club.
Oh, the one out there.
Yeah, way out north.
Way up north, yeah.
Yeah. So it was fun, though. But that was the best gift Christmas, because I actually bought my mom some cool stuff.
What'd you buy her?
I bought my mom a whole bunch. I remember this because she had this Swinger sewing machine.
Singer.
Ooh, Singer.
Your mom didn't have a Swinger.
Yeah, Swinger. Yeah, not a Swinger.
Wrong,
Singer.
Wrong. So, wrong.
Yeah. Well, my parents were divorced. a Singer sewing machine. And I bought her this whole bunch of these like specialized needles that she wanted
like
that for embroidery.
I'm very familiar with that stuff. My mom was a seamstress, you know, sewed a lot of stuff for us.
Clothes. Was she a Swinger though?
She didn't have a Swinger sewing machine. She did have a Singer.
All right, so there we go.
Yeah. And funny enough, my dad, he's actually pretty good at sewing too, because his mother, my grandma Stell, she was a professional seamstress. And for a time, she and her second husband, they sold sewing machines and had a sewing machine repair shop. And so they would go to the state fair and they would display these sewing machines. And they would have my father, who, you know, was like 8, 10, whatever, demonstrate, you know.
How easy it was.
How easy it was. A boy can do it. Well, what they didn't know, the boy's a ringer, okay?
So you come from a large family of grifters. Got it.
Right.
We're understanding that.
No, just I have a lot of you know.
Grifters. Got it.
No, just a lot of knowledge of Singer and sewing machines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good one for me. But this year's, you know, kind of different. Looking at what things that I want to get, things I want to get for my wife. But that we get a lot of people that walk into the shop and they're like, oh, my husband or my spouse, my wife or whatever, they're into cycling. This what do I get them?
Always the dilemma, man.
Every year, this is the dilemma, especially for this, because cyclists are particular.
Well, yeah, but there's always the basics, you know. People always need tools. They always need saddlebags and inner tubes, you know, maybe not as much anymore, but, you know, you need sealant. Just the basics, you know.
Right.
There's stuff you can buy for $10, $15, $20, you know, that you could be a stocking stuffer or some gloves and things like that.
Well, and that's the point. And that's why we grabbed Jamie, because, like we said, he's a walking encyclopedia. But this year we're looking for some of the top 20, 25 gadgets and gizmos.
That's a lot of gadgets.
That's
and gizmos.
A lot. Yeah.
No, 20 or 25. Top 2025, the year 2025.
Oh, that's I see.
Yeah. Gadgets or gizmos that you've seen that people are requesting, or that you've seen that you're like, hey, that's pretty cool.
Dave touched on gloves are always big, headlights and taillights. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
It's getting dark at 5 o'clock
right
now.
4:30.
Headlights, taillights are big, and we've got some new stuff from Lazine that's really nice.
I love Lazine's lights. They're really good.
Bright as hell.
The one, as far as gizmos go, the one thing that we've seen a spike in is e-flaters. It's a chargeable inflator.
Is that that Prestaflate thing?
Yeah. Pocket inflators. There's two of them. There's two of them that we got in today.
Don't go there, Dave.
It's a flashback to, if you haven't listened to episode 31, just go listen to that. You'll understand what pocket inflators are.
Right. So there's, that's a big one this year, e-flators. You can always find something to buy.
It used to be people would do things like buy computers, but that was back when computers were like $40. Now computers are like a couple $100. Are there any you know, GPS enabled computers that are under $100 that somebody can buy? They're all gizmoed up with
for
a lot
a number of years.
Of,
Garmin had the 200 series, which was like $199. I think they came out at $149. Uh-huh. That was a Garmin GPS computer, but now the 200 series.
Lazine used to make some affordable stuff, and they've kind of been kind of pushed to the side as far as, you know, brand name recognition. With the Garmins and the Wahoos and all this other stuff, I really like Lazine.
Yeah, they make great products.
Their computers were kind of hit or miss though.
They've got some entry level stuff, you know, wheel magnet type computers that are pretty good. But we tried their GPS computer and it wasn't great.
Who are you talking about, Lazine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my only problem with them was when you. To do an update to the computer, which is necessary from time to time, you have to have a computer with a big enough memory, because they're going to send you the entire file. They're not just going to give you the snippets of the file that are uploaded. That's not how they do it.
Right.
And I'm not sure why. It's probably easier for them, you know. But that was my only complaint. But I really did like their functionality and... things like that.
You know, water bottles, there's a lot water of things bottles. that you can
the insulated gift. Kind for the cold weather.
Yeah. You can gift plenty of gifts for the cyclist. Isn't going to come close to swinger sewing machines, but I did feel like I need to mention that in 1976 for Christmas I got a Stormer BMX bike. And if it wasn't for that present, I'm not sure that I'd be.
Who made Stormer? That's a brand I've heard, but I'm not familiar.
Yeah, they
with
were.
It.
They only made bikes for a couple of years, and then they, I think the company went out of business. Very collectible now.
Yeah,
but yeah, that kind
of that was one of those
me.
Smaller kind of brands that were probably made in California somewhere.
You had a bunch of them back then. You had FMF, and
there was one Stormer. Called Cheetah. You ever remember something called Cheetah?
Sure.
A buddy of mine had a Cheetah, and you know his dad was an officer, and he had a ton of money, and I could not believe how light this thing was. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. So yeah, that kind of started me down the cycling path, and that was in Christmas of 76. By the spring of 77, I was racing that BMX bike. And
BMX bikes make great Christmas gifts for
they
kids.
Really do.
And they fly off the shelves. What do we got here?
Right now we have, I believe, Sunday BMX.
Is that a newer brand?
No, Sunday's been around for a while.
Oh, they have?
We also carry, although we don't have any inventory right now, Fit, Fit by Co, Kink, Cult, and Elite.
So let me ask you a question, Jamie. If you're recommending a gift, say I'm somebody who comes in and I say, hey, I need to get a gift for my family, and I've got four categories that I want to focus on. What's the cheapest gift I can get them? What's a budget gift? What's a mid-range? What's the most expensive? I mean, obviously, there's different categories between bikes, helmets, gloves, things like that.
Sure.
But think about it like that. Like, you know, here's a great solution. It's inexpensive, good quality. This one's more expensive, great quality, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, kind of within the individual budget. So I got $100 in my pocket, and I need gloves, socks, shoes.
Oh, you just spent $100 on gloves and
bag,
socks.
You know.
Yeah.
Air pumps. Things like that.
So the gloves, I mean, you want specific models and makes. The Giro glove we have right now, I want to say is $50 or $55. Fantastic glove. It's top of the line. You don't have to spend that on gloves, but we do have...
Does it got gel in it?
We have that top of the line Giro glove, yeah. We also have some gloves made by Lizard Skins, Aramis Cadence gloves, and...
Hands up.
Oh, yeah, the hands
we
up.
Have some hand-up gloves.
I like hands-up. Those
I got
the
PBR hands-up.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Now, do you like that? Oh, those are cool.
Is this party time on there?
Yeah.
Party time.
Do you like the full glove or the half glove?
I get the full glove for cross and mountain bike.
Okay.
And I do the half-finger glove for road biking. Or sometimes no glove at all. Just depends.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, socks, we got a boatload of socks. Jamie's kind of got a, I think he has a sock fetish.
You know, every cyclist is kind of a sock fetish. I have probably, I don't know.
Not so much of a fetish, but you really shouldn't be riding like
dozens of socks.
Department store cotton socks.
Oh, God.
If you're riding a bike, your feet are going to sweat. And then, yeah, that's gross. I won't go into the chemistry of all that. But so we carry mint socks, which are... From my experience, the best. I own lots of them. Everybody that buys them loves them.
Mint?
Mint socks, yep. Freshly minted, I think, is their website.
I think I have some of those.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're great. Made in Italy, there's a blend, synthetic blend, or she also makes a full wool. It's a woman-owned and operated company. They're great. The designs are great. They're comfortable. They last for hundreds of washes. And they're stylish. They're great. I'm looking through the crack in the door at them right now.
I think they have those multicolored ones that kind of match our kit pretty good. So I think I have a couple of pairs of those.
Yep.
So the one thing I hear from people is like, well, wool socks, won't my feet just get hot and sweaty? That's what I've never
known. No, wool breathes so well.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It makes a big difference.
I mean,
they
used to wear wool jerseys up until the 80s in you know, the pro cycling peloton.
You still occasionally wear one. It says that black one that says Velo across the...
Yeah. I wear that all the time.
Yeah. It looks like it.
Base layer and that and a wind shell, and I'm good till down to 30-some degrees.
And socks is one of those things, too, you know, that an average cyclist might not come in and buy the socks for themselves. But if they're given a pair of socks,
because
the mint socks are cheap.
Very
they're
$20,
$24, $25. They're not cheap.
No.
But if somebody buys you a pair and you wear them, then all of a sudden you're going down the same rabbit hole that a lot of us have gone down. And then get rid of all my cotton and start buying real socks.
Yeah.
So what's a good mid-range gift?
What are you talking about?
Mid-range. $50 to $100.
Oh, okay.
Helmets are great.
Can you get a $100 helmet now?
The Giro fixture is $89. Fantastic helmet for
$100. Does it look decent?
It's a great helmet.
Nerdy or nothing?
Great helmet. So you can't go wrong with that. Depending on the recipient, if they need a bike lock, we've got some great Abus locks in that.
Oh, Abus is the way to go. They're a German company.
Yeah, in that category. Those are a couple just off the top of my head. Shotgun in that.
Do you have that Abus folding lock?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great one, man. It kind of folds up.
What else?
On it. It's pretty cool.
I have to look at that one. I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's super great. It's like a mechanical bar links, and it folds up on itself.
Oh, okay.
It's really cool.
You can do a...
then you can put it in a bottle cage.
One of those higher lumen headlights, too, for under $100.
What do you consider higher lumen anymore? More than 400?
Anything over 800 is pretty darn high.
All the lumens.
Yeah. I mean, 800 lumens, that's brighter than a car, is it not?
That's about the average anymore. No, 2,200 really? Is what
cars are 22.
Car. Yeah.
But it's a bigger area. Does that matter? Sure. I don't know how you measure light, man.
That's science.
I mean, in lumens.
I know, that's the brightness. But then there's like, if you have a lot of lumens coming out of a small thing.
Then it's called a laser.
Almost. And I think for... Not just to see, but to be seen. I think you have to have the bigger light so that people can see it from different angles and know, hey, this is a real thing and not just some kind of reflection or, you know.
And no, I definitely think that for a long time, headlights were really kind of laser focused, straightforward.
Right.
And it didn't give you a lot of perspective on your peripheral vision.
Right.
And that's
a thing now because you got all these little mirrors in there. If you look at them, there's all these different, it's a facet technically. And it kind of directs the light all the way around. So you get.
And I want a little bit more of that. I want to kind of see what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it's always something that comes out at
you. But you know, lighting technology has gotten so much better and at the same time cheaper and easier to use with the rechargeability. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting to me, you know, how they were able to get so many lumens, so much brightness out of, I mean, that amount of light power. Mm-hmm. Used to require like a gigantic size battery.
Yeah, no, these things are small now. They're small.
Yeah.
They're smaller than your phone.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they'll still run for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
And they have different modes and flashing
strobe and everything like that.
Right. But definitely, honestly, I think a light is actually a great gift.
And the rear lights, what are those vertical lights that you can put on your seat post?
Yeah, it's tail lights from Lazine and...
Lazine makes them. Avis does too.
That's a $20 light, and
those are great.
Those things are bright. It's
and they
amazing.
Have the modes.
It's
the
amazing
flash
how
modes?
I see those things.
Yeah, you put it in flash mode, the battery lasts forever.
Even in the daytime, in the daytime, like
I got a lot of friends who do daytime rear lights. I don't, but
there was probably 50 people on a highway. We're in the Beast. We're riding, and of all the people that were riding, there was one that was maybe 150 yards ahead of us, and. Had one of those on and it was flashing, and that's the first one I saw. Just boom, I was like, look at that. And I was like, it's amazing. All these people, but that's the one I saw first. It's the one that caught my eye. As I'm coming over this hill and I see all these riders,
that's the one that caught my eye first. Because a lot of times, you know, especially if you're out in the country, and these are kind of a out in the country type light, a guy's going to come over a hill or something, he's just going to be zoning out.
Yep.
And, you know, He's going to eventually see the cyclist, but it's great if he's going to know that the guy is there 2 to 3 minutes away.
Right.
You know, he's always going to have that, not like, oh, here he is.
And Garmin has that, they've got that one system.
Radar, yeah.
The radar.
Is it Garmin that has that?
Yeah.
Lazine has it now, too.
Yeah.
Or do they?
How much do those cost, Jimmy? What's the entry on those?
They just did a price increase on the Garmin Varia radar. I want to say they're $399.
And what does a Lazine come in at?
It's a little more than that.
Oh, it is.
But it has some features that the Garmin does not have.
So. Oh, okay.
One thing I just thought of, you were talking about that, as I took a drink from my Camelback Podium insulated water bottle. That's a good mid-range press.
Is that stainless steel?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're expensive. I mean, they're $75 water bottles, but I learned on RagBri that this thing will hold drinks cold for a long time.
How does that work, though? It's stainless steel?
Yeah.
I
mean, it's heavy. It's not something you're going to use on a race.
You can't squeeze it like you can the other one. So
no.
Okay, but it's got that, what do you call this? This top, the podium top?
Yeah.
And the little...
The nub?
Yeah. You just tilt it up. But
yeah.
That's another thing that I...
And how much are those, 75?
Yeah. You can get them in stainless or titanium.
Actual titanium.
You can get the plastic ones that are insulated for under $30, right?
Sure. But I'm just saying I did a test of both of them on a hot day during RagBri, and this thing held cold water for like 6 hours, and the insulated plastic maybe lasted an hour.
Oh, really?
Well worth it. But again,
How much does that hold?
This is a 23.
Okay.
Maybe a rider is not going to buy 22 ounce, but is not going to buy this for themselves. But if somebody bought them one as a gift, and
that'd be a great gift. And, I mean, it's kind of like buying a Stanley or what's the other?
Yeah, exactly.
The big item now with the coolers and
Yeti,
all that.
Yeti, Stanley.
Yeah, the Yetis and stuff.
I like the Azuala.
You know what? If Yeti made that, it'd be $100.
Oh, it would be more than
that.
You think?
Just for the Yeti name, yeah.
I know, it's ridiculous.
But I like them. I've got several of them now, and they're fantastic. Oh, cool.
If I'm correct, Ragbri had 2 heat stroke deaths this last year. So it was
Didn't. Did they really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it did. Wow. So, and because it was so hot. I mean, that just happened to be like the hottest week of the year, and they were on Ragbri.
Brutal. Brutal.
Wow.
But anyway, that's so, another great mid-range
water
gift,
bottles, right?
Yep.
So think of some high-end items that would be, if you were picking, what would be some high-end items that might cost you a couple $100?
Oh, computers, like Dave said.
New Garmin with the radar. Be great.
New Garmin computers, the Varia radar tail light. Another thing that we sell a few of every year is bike stands. If somebody wants to do their own work, feedback stands.
Oh, those repair stands are great.
They are.
Yeah, the feedback repair stand. It folds up like a tripod, like a camera tripod.
Yeah.
I've had one of those for more than 30 years.
Yeah,
and I still use it all the time, and it's held up. So that's a great investment too.
Yeah,
you know, a bike stand like that and some tools, because you're always going to add to your tools. I mean, if you're a mechanic, you never stop buying tools. You know.
Yep. Well, I mean, just to be able to pull it up off the ground and work on it and clean it and things like that.
Even just cleaning your chain.
Yeah, it's so much easier
having your bike in a bike stand. You can clean your chain in like a minute. I clean my chain nearly every ride because I have a bike stand. It's easy.
So for people like me, and I've got a horrific lower back, and I've got a 100-pound dog, but I groom my own dog. I bought a grooming table.
You can't put your dog in a bike stand, Dave. Is this where this is going?
But I put it on a table, and my back, it doesn't kill my back. So when I'm working on the bike or something that, I've got a feedback and... It honestly, I can stand upright. It just makes more sense.
Yeah, no, I love my feedback. It's great. I take it to races.
Yep,
all the time. Every race I do, because I'm gonna have my stuff, you know.
Right.
And then everyone was like, "Oh, you got this and that." I always bring my feedback and my tools, and you know, that way I can always help people out.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, Dave, is there anything you're wanting for Christmas this year?
You know,
bike or not.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. My wife kind of, I'm not saying she doesn't pay attention to what I do with the bikes, but it's kind of like that's my thing, you know? And I work in a bike shop, so I just kind of buy my own stuff. In that way, I'm a lot like my dad. My mom used to complain when we were kids, like, you know, my dad was the kind of guy who would buy himself a watch a week before Christmas, which was true. You know, and I'm a little bit that way. But you know what? I'd like a cool record, like, you know, like a reissue of a new vinyl record. That's a great Christmas gift, I think, is a record.
I just saw.
And vinyl is hot now.
Dillard's? I was at Dillard's.
Has a vinyl section now?
Actually had a whole list of vinyl. And I found a Queen's.
I thought Dillard's was all closed.
Queen's Greatest Hits.
Oh, yeah.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
No, but I actually found a book on the Whiskey Connoisseur Guidebook, Field Guide. It was kind of cool book, so I bought that for a buddy of mine who's getting into whiskeys. But
whiskey's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to have a hobby, have fun.
I guess.
The guy whose dad bought a new watch every Christmas.
Right. It wasn't an expensive watch, and he usually bought it at the BX, which is where, you know, when you're in the military, you always shop at the base exchange.
What's the best gift you ever got, Jamie?
Well, aside from that BMX bike in 1976.
Oh, man. Tops.
Oh, boy. There was one Christmas. It was probably 2016, 17, somewhere in there, where my wife did the fun thing where everything you open, you have to open in sequence, and they were all hints.
Those are great. I love those.
Yeah, she was clever. The very last thing, when I got to the end, and it's Christmas morning, I'm groggy, I'm trying to suck down coffee and follow instructions on how to open this. The kids are all knew what it was, and so they were all sitting around watching this. My wife had gotten tickets to a New Jersey Devils hockey. Devils fan. And
that's awesome.
So we went to the last home game of the season, which also happened to be Patrick Elias's last game the NHL.
And how many Devils games have you gone to in your life? More than 20?
No.
No?
I go to NHL games, but it's not always the Devils.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't always work out. But I've seen the Devils 7 times live.
Okay.
And I've been to, I don't know, maybe 15 NHL games.
That's cool.
But yeah, that one was pretty cool. I won't forget that. That I didn't have any idea. These clues are supposed to, you know, help me figure out what it was, and I didn't know till I got to the last thing and opened it up, and I saw the devil's tickets there, and I was like, oh my God, going to Newark.
it's a destination location for many luxury trips.
It's really not.
No, I'm fully aware of that. But
so Dave, that one comes to mind.
How about you, Dave? What's the best gift you ever got?
For Christmas?
For Christmas.
So I think this is kind of weird, but the best gift I ever got for Christmas was a used football. My brother, my older brother bought it for me. He probably bought it at the thrift store on base, you know, because like I said, we didn't have a lot of money, you know.
Right.
My dad was in the Air Force, and there were four kids, and we moved around a lot. But anyway, one year my brother got me this football for Christmas, you know, and it was used football. But you know, then we went outside and we played football with all the guys in the neighborhood, you know, and it was my football, you know what I mean? And so that was just like, I still remember that, you know, that it was my football.
Mm-hmm.
And
mostly his brother just wanted to watch people chase him down and tackle Dave.
The great thing was my brother Craig, he gives me the football, and then we open all the gifts. And so then he grabs the football, and he's like, come on, let's go out and play. And it was like, he just took my football. Like, he gangstered my football right away. But anyway, I love that football. Yeah, that was great.
And then, but it's the best, you had the BMX bike was probably your favorite bike thing. You ever get a bike gift that was your top list?
You know, I don't know that I ever got a bike for Christmas. I'm not sure. I probably shouldn't. The thing is, I don't know if it was a Christmas gift. My dad, one time, he got a re-enlistment bonus, and so we got some gifts, and I don't know if they were around Christmas. So this is in Guam. My brother Craig, he got a bike for Christmas. And then there's a Super 8 film of him getting on the bike for the first time and going down this very slight hill on base and running into a palm tree. Anyway, but I was happy. I was so happy. I could probably still remember this. I think I got a cowboy gun set with a holster, real leather holster, and a hat. It was a red hat with red stitching. I look like Woody from Toy Story.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know? And there's a picture of me with it on. I think, I can't remember. You know what? We got these G.I. Joes one time. That was pretty cool. G.I. Joe is a great Christmas. You know what? Get your kid a G.I. Joe for Christmas.
My kids are a little bit older for G.I. Joe.
But oh my God, G.I. Joe.
Big old bag of Army Men.
Oh, that was so great to
get
G.I. Joe.
Set up your little Army Men.
I got this G.I. Joe, and then it had like a scuba suit or something. And it was so hard to get him in the scuba suit. I think my Aunt Dolores, she was so great. Such a classy lady. She helped me get him in the scuba suit. I'll never forget that. That was great.
So that's what we did. What was your best Christmas gift?
Yeah, Dave. Was it a soccer ball?
Actually, no. My favorite gift I got as a kid was a set of boxing gloves.
No way.
Yep.
So you could punch Dave?
So, no, because I had an older brother, and my dad was a pro fighter.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was. And then he managed.
Did he fight here in town?
He did, and then he fought. Then he was in an accident, and he basically had to have one of the lobes of his lung resected from the car accident, and it ended his career.
Oh, my God.
He managed
God.
Boxers after that. So I grew up around a lot of boxers.
Oh, you did?
The Foxhole Gym, South Omaha. That's where we fought. And so,
where was that? Because I don't even know.
It's not there anymore.
Oh, it isn't? Did they ever have fights at Sokol?
Oh, yeah. But they had the basement.
In the gymnasium.
The basement of the Foxhole Bar was the Foxhole Gym. And so you'd go in the bar, and then you'd go to the back, and you'd go down the stairs, and there was a gym down there, and that's where
Where was this located?
That's the way it should be.
But like, where?
Man, I was such a kid.
You don't remember?
It was over by Joe Tess's. I remember that because we'd swing by.
Off of Railroad Avenue.
Yeah, somewhere in that area Joe Tess went through North Africa with my grandfather, so we knew him real well.
Oh, really? In the war?
Yeah, my grandfather was... I think he was his captain or his lieutenant or something like that.
Oh my God.
But so we started boxing, but what was great about it was my older brother was much bigger and stronger than me, but I was
how much
so
older was he?
2 years.
Yeah, okay.
But I was so much lighter and faster.
Oh yeah.
So I really loved fighting. I just loved it. Uh-huh. In fact, this year for Christmas, I asked my kids to pitch in and buy me a speed bag.
Oh really?
Because I haven't had one in a long time, and I want to get back into it.
Oh okay.
But that was a fun gift because I just liked it.
Yeah.
But other than that, the you know, Christmas was kind of slim pickings because the parents weren't together, you know, and oh, I was yeah. raised by mom. So, you know, okay. the traditional Christmas sweater, you know, which was seemed to be a staple until I turned about 18. And I said, no one buy me another sweater for the yeah. rest of my life. If I never yeah. get another sweater for the rest of my life, I will be completely content. Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the things. But then there were some games as a kid every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So
pretty cool.
But I didn't. I mean, you know, you got gifts as a kid. It's just, yep. you know, little gifts here, little yeah. gifts there. Boxing gloves were awesome.
You remember that stuff?
One Christmas, I was really young, and I got a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun I've been wanting for. Oh, wait, that wasn't me.
I'll shoot your eye out, man.
A buddy of mine from Lincoln just went down. He was in Cleveland for some stuff. And did you know there's a Christmas Story museum? I think it's the actual house. No,
there should be.
Really. No, there is. And he took a picture. My buddy Rob Livermore from Lincoln, he's not very tall. And anyway, he did this thing where you can hide under the sink like Ralphie.
Oh, nice. Because Daddy's going to kill Ralphie.
He took a picture
and there is a leg lamp in there, I assume.
There is. Oh, yeah.
You know, you can buy that.
Yeah, sure. You can buy that. Yeah.
You can buy that leg lamp. Yeah, that's a classic. I think it's almost...
Oh, you know what? The other thing that I really super loved, my dad got me a radio one time. I probably... I got some pretty good Christmas gifts. They never cost a lot. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But they just meant a lot, you know?
Right.
My parents were always smart about stuff. You know, it's hard to buy for your kids because they're growing up so fast and you don't talk to them all the time. You know, and if you're my dad, you might not even be in the country all the time. But he got me this radio. And it was probably this big. You could plug it in or you could have. And anyway, it wasn't even a stereo. It was just a radio. And I love that thing. I could still smell it. Like, remember when you used to take electronics out of the back? You take it out of the box and it had that electronic smell, remember?
And it took like 8 D cell batteries.
Yeah.
That was the Mercury, Dave.
Yeah. And then I got that and I used to listen to Casey Kasem every Saturday night. Like, my life depended on it, man. I would listen to the whole thing.
And the Dr. Demento show.
I was still like in sixth grade, so I didn't even know about Dr. Demento.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Really?
No, we had led a sheltered life, man.
It's radio.
On base.
You can pick it up.
Those radio waves didn't make it onto base.
Not the bases you were on?
No, it was KGOR and all that, KFAB. A lot of it was AM, man.
True.
You know?
Back in the day.
We listened to a lot of country stuff. Glenn Campbell and Ronnie Millsap and, you know, Juice Newton and stuff like that. Tanya Tucker. No, oh, yeah.
The closest I got to country was CCR.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. All right, let's step out for a second and let's do a commercial break here. Once again, sponsored by The Bikeway, and we'll be back in a flash. Riders, you ready? The Bikeway, Omaha's trusted cycling shop for over 25 years, keeping riders of all ages and all skill levels rolling strong. We carry the best brands, Giant, Santa Cruz, Bianchi, Scott, Sunday, and Kink BMX. And for 2025, we're adding Jamis bicycles and Rad e-bikes to the lineup. Whether you ride road, gravel, mountain, BMX, e-bikes, or something else, we got the gears, the parts, the accessories you need. And if you need service, our certified mechanic got you covered. Stop by, grab a coffee, talk bikes, and enjoy the tunes. We're more than a shop. We're a community. Don't forget the Beast, the Bikeway Beast, our mobile shop bringing service straight to you on the trails. Located in Omaha at 151st and Industrial Road, rider owned and operated, the Bikeway, Omaha's cycling tradition for over 25 years. And we're back.
And we are back. Oh, we're back.
We are back.
Because we were back before, and then Tru said we had to
give
be
me
back
a Steven
again.
Tyler back in the saddle scream.
Oh, my God. That'd be the best.
And we're back.
No, don't.
That's what he does, though, right? Well, that's pretty accurate.
It wasn't accurate, but yeah, that's what he says.
Not bad, though. Come on, scale of 1 to 10, give me a 5. At least a 5.
You're not getting a 5 out of that.
I'm not asking you. You're not an expert. He is.
A 3.
You're a loser.
Absolutely a 2.
Well, we are back. And once again, I want to express to everybody that we are a bicycle podcast in a bicycle shop, a full-service bicycle shop. Right, Dave?
A shop-a-pa with 2 P's and an E at the end?
Shop-a-pa.
Shop-a-pa.
Shop-a-pa. But so occasionally you're going to hear some noises.
Episode where it's he makes a bar in his basement and he makes a sign and it says "Ye Old Pub," except for he put the E in the wrong place. Yeah. It said "Ye Old Pube."
So we get our Christmas gifts and we're it's a day after Christmas. If you're to my English friends, Boxing Day. And Canadians
Boxing
also.
Day is the day after. It's the 26th.
Yes, that's what I said. The day after Christmas.
Okay.
To my English friends, Boxing Day.
Oh, yeah, right.
And Canadians, they do Boxing Day as well.
Well, they're half English anyway.
That's true.
Mostly.
And the others are French. So, now we're starting to think about the new year. The year has ended. 2025 has ended. We're going into 2026. And we all go through this process. For most people, it only lasts maybe 2 weeks. It's a New Year's resolution.
Oh, really?
So what do you do? Do you take any of these gifts? You got a bunch of cool new bike gifts and stuff like that, you know. But in 2026,
I just do what everybody else does. I pretend that I'm not going to drink very much, and I pretend I'm going to go to the gym. And then, like 7 days later, I stop pretending. I mean, that's just how it works.
That pretty much sums it up for 98% of the population.
Yeah, it really does. So
you can't pretend like you're going to drink less. Over a holiday.
Eat healthier, exercise
more. Have you ever had a New Year's resolution that you've actually stuck to?
You know what? When I was training with Ken, I made that resolution that I was going to train and get in shape, and I kind of did. So, Well, I did really well.
Is kinda kind of a word that says I kinda did it. Instead of 7 days, I went 21.
No, I did it until we bought a house, and then I couldn't do it anymore.
You got distracted.
Well, yeah, I didn't have the time.
Right. That's when you got fat.
And I got fat again. So.
Jamie, have you ever had a resolution that you've stuck with your whole life?
I'd have to think about that. Last year, I committed to late in December. I said, I'm going to do my best in 2025 to still be alive on December 31st of 2025. And looks like I'm going to make it.
You're going to make it.
There you go.
Is that your New Year's resolution every year?
So is that, does that count?
Not to murder anyone. just randomly,
This year, I think I'm not going to kill anybody.
I think for you guys, because you guys are always packing.
That would be a good year's resolution, but I don't think I could fulfill that one.
Not murder somebody? What? You murder somebody every year?
No, I think about it. Pray to God I don't get a terminal disease. I'm just saying that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
to all those people that have wronged me in the course of my life, I have not forgotten you.
Right. Seriously,
what do you mean
though,
I'm dying,
when you
Doc?
When you get to be this age, you tell yourself every year, right? I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise more. And
I'm going to stop going to Popeyes.
Oh, but that honey sauce.
Oh, man. The chicken sandwich.
Speaking of which, the honey sauce. I just got to tell the story.
So
I have 2 bird dogs, right? And one of them has, when she gets out in the field, she has 2 speeds, 100 miles an hour and off. And a couple times a year, she goes hypoglycemic in the field.
Oh, really?
So my brother and my dad and
she
I
just
are
goes that hard.
Hunting on Monday. And we're, I don't know, maybe hour and 15 minutes into it. It was pretty chilly Monday morning. We're hunting, and her name's Belle, and Belle's going just streaking around. She's having the time of her life. We make the turn and start heading back towards the truck, and she's still hunting hard, except for the next time she goes by me, she's just trotting. And I looked over at my brother, and I go, she's going down any minute. She does the cross thing one way. She's just trotting. The next time she comes across, she's barely walking. She stops, looks at me, and goes, boom.
Just falls right over?
And I carry in my pocket.
Is she a pointer? What kind of dog is this?
English setter.
Okay.
I carry in my pocket the Popeye's honey sauce.
Oh, really?
And so she's laying there. I kind of squeeze 2 packets of it in her, and in a matter of minutes, she's up and at it again.
Is sugar good for dogs, though?
When their blood sugar is so low that they
I guess
pass out?
Yeah,
it's not a problem. Huh. But
What is a setter versus a pointer? Just real quick. I never understood, like, hunting dogs.
English pointers typically have really short hair, really short coats.
But what's the difference between a pointer and a setter as far as functionality and
nomenclature? It's the same thing. Okay. Setters tend to point a little lower to the ground.
Okay.
But the breed itself has longer
hair. So they go out and find birds and they just wait and then they flush them when you tell them, right? That's how it works, or, ideally. Yeah,
ideally.
Was she good at sitting on birds or not?
She's good, yeah.
Because she sounds hyper.
She's, at home, she's a sweetheart. Right. In the field, she goes hard. She
I had a buddy really like hard. That. His dog was like that. Queenie. Yeah. Unbelievable dog.
Yeah.
But he brought English up Popeyes, and it reminded me of, that life-saving honey sauce.
My dad, we have a family text, and my dad texted us all last night. He's like, I got dinner solved for the next 5 days. And we're like, what you doing? He goes, I went to Popeyes and bought like five chickens. I don't even know what the quantity of chicken that they sell. That comes in, you know, five like chickens worth of chicken. I don't know.
It's a lot of chicken.
It's probably a huge bucket. Remember those giant buckets you used to get from KFC? You need help getting the lid off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So big.
Every Sunday, I cook 20 chicken breasts on the grill.
20?
20.
I'll put 5 or 6 in the Instant Pot.
No, I put them there, and then my daughter and I eat them during the week.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, resolutions, plans for 2026. Dave, you mentioned that you were going to be doing the Iowa Wind and Rock.
I did, and I've been thinking about that, and I'm not backing out, not yet anyway. I mean, I will at some point, but no, here's my New Year's resolution. I swear to God, because it's going to be critical for me to like accomplish some life goals, like working out and doing stuff. I need to get my basement cleaned up and squared away so that I can go down there and make my little workout space and stuff and be able to lift and ride and things like that. That's my New Year's resolution. That's what I want to accomplish over the Christmas break, is probably throwing a lot of stuff out of the basement.
It's okay to throw things away.
We should have done it before we moved, but I just couldn't get it done.
Yeah. My year's resolution is I'm to have the house ready by my wife's 60th birthday to sell.
Oh, you guys are selling? Where are you moving?
No, I want it sell ready.
No, they're going to sell it but not move.
Wow. Yeah. What are you talking about? Ass house?
Yeah, I do, and that's the problem.
Oh, it's too big?
Yeah.
Cuz all the girls are gone, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Don't you have one left?
I do, but she's, you know,
She's
24 years old now.
Not going
to
be long.
Yeah, she's waiting. She wants to bounce out of Omaha. So I'm just ready. I just want to have it market ready in case I want to downsize at any time.
Where would you move to?
Well, I'm not saying I wouldn't move out of Omaha. I'm just simply saying I just want to move out of that house.
Where would you move in Omaha? What, you have like a neighborhood in mind? You want to get farther? Like a property kind of a house?
Yeah.
Out in the country somewhere?
Somewhere.
Like an old farm? Are you an old farm guy? Or
no, I want to build a house from new.
Okay. So you'd get like an acreage?
Yeah. Actually, what I'd really like to do is I'd like to buy a townhouse where I don't have to do any of the yard maintenance and stuff like that anymore, and I can spend more time.
Well, that's not out in the country then, is it?
I know. I get that's a problem.
So those are your two options.
If I do that, I might move to a different city.
But right.
That won't be for another 5-10 years.
Right. Yeah.
So I just want to have it ready to go. And then I want to get better in physical shape. So I'm going to contemplate.
Better than now?
Yeah. I'm going to try to, I'm looking at a couple races to possibly enter.
For funsies?
Yeah, for funsies.
Like a gravel type thing?
Yep.
Okay. Like the Louisville gravel grinder? They have a 30-mile option.
That one might work. I was looking for something in the summer.
Though, it's hilly. So
be prepared. We were there last year.
I know. You saw the hilly.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
It keeps going, man. It doesn't stop.
Car went just fine. Jamie, what about you?
Yeah, boss. What do you got?
Oh, I don't know. I don't like to think that my racing days are over. I should probably do another race. I know John here at the shop is always on me about, hey, we're going to do this next year. You're going to do Gravel Worlds with me, blah, blah, blah. And John and I are when I'm in shape, we're about the same riding speed.
Yeah, he went on that gravel ride with us and Ken like 2 weeks ago.
And so, yeah, I think, and that might be the help I need, is to have John pushing me going, come on, we're going to do this. So yeah, I might get back into the racing thing, whether it be on single track or on gravel. I might have to do that again just because it's been 7
Don't you think we get to our age and we get to a point where it's like, I just want to know if I can do it again.
Yeah, I think there's something to that.
I go, I haven't quit like racing since I started back in like 2000 and I want to say five. I've just, some years I do more, some years I do less. Like, and for the last couple of years, I haven't done hardly any gravel races at all. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the one our club puts on. I got a little burned out on gravel. And there's no road races anymore. I miss road racing like a lot. And maybe our club can put, that'd be a New Year's resolution, is to put on a road race. That, you know, that'd be great. But I'm kind of looking forward to maybe getting back into gravel a little bit, you know? What, you know what's a really fun one? And it's the last one that they're going to do is that the one out there in, it's a literal town called Ohio and Nebraska. What is it? The Lazy Horse.
Oh, yeah.
And registration opens on New Year's Day, and it will sell out, and because everybody knows it's the last one, it'll sell out in 3 hours, tops. So that one is super fun.
When is the race?
It's like mid-May, and it's a great location. It's South Central Nebraska. It's about a 2.5 hour car ride to get there.
Okay,
but it's super fun. It's a neat part of Nebraska. It's rolling hills, but they're not super steep. They just kind of go, and they're not super high, but it's just a lot of little rolling hills. And you go through all these little towns, and they have a fire department and a bake sale, and old ladies with pies, and you know, would you like some ice cream with your pie? I'm like, is there a different way to do this? You know? I thought it was.
Is that a trick question, lady?
A trick question.
Yeah. So I've got one of those Garmins, the full Garmin bike.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Oh, the Garmin, like
trainer bike.
Oh, I see.
And I was just talking to my wife about it the other day. I'm like, you know, she wanted it. And so, of course, if you know, happy wife, happy life. And,
did you get rid of your tax? Your tax bike?
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. Okay.
It's a Garmin tax. Okay. And I said, this is turning into a laundry sheet dryer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, and I go, that was not the intent, and it's just going to take up space. So either we use it or I get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, no, don't get rid of it. And I'm like, well, I've got a treadmill. You know, I've got an elliptical. I've got a ski machine. And we use those. We're not using.
Are
the
you
bike.
On a platform? Do you use an online writing platform like a Zwift? Or?
I was going to get on Zwift. What I was going to do. Just for that.
So if you get on Zwift, they have a companion app called Zwift Companion, and it has a list of all of the rides that are on there. So there are actually kind of meet and greet rides, and they have varying degrees of difficulty and length and stuff like that. And I found that was really good to kind of, because you know, when you're out in the summer riding outside, if you do group rides with people, you've got to meet at a certain time and you've got to show up, you know, and people say, are you going to do this ride? And then you can look and plan. And it's kind of like an accountability thing,
right?
You know, and like an incentive. That's the big incentive. One of the big incentives for me, like with cycling, isn't just the riding. It's also the riding with people. That's like equally part of it for me. That's my social group right there. You know, those are my friends that I talk to. I don't really talk to that many other people, you know, that don't live in my house.
Right.
You know, so that's a big part of it. And so if you're going to do that, instead of just getting on there and riding away, you can go and do these rides. And then they also have, within Zwift, they have workouts that you can do that with varying degrees of difficulty and length, and it's very customizable and stuff like that. And they can vary from day to day. Like you're going to do this day, and you can pick it. And that's kind of another thing where like it gets you kind of like mentally into it, you know, where you're like, oh, it's not just getting on there and like, you know, the old squirrel cage going around and around and you're watching, you know, TV or Matlock or whatever. No, it's the full potential of the platform, you know, the interaction and the metrics. You can hook up your heart rate monitor. Yours has a built-in power meter, you know what I mean? So you can kind of do that. And then you got your metrics, And that's also your accountability, you know?
Right.
You're like doing it and then like, oh, and then the next time you're like, oh, and you can see the trends and if you're doing better or, you know? So that's a lot of it. So use the equipment, man.
Yeah, I use everything but that in the house.
Yeah.
I've gone from a 36-inch waist to I'm a little over a 32. I'm about a 33 now.
Man, I'd love to stop buying size 34 pants. That'd be great, you know? 10 years ago, I could get into 30s.
Yeah.
You know, but
no, I was a 32 when I graduated from high school, right. Been a 34 most of my life. And then I got to a 36 after cancer and I'm like, nope, not going any bigger. So wife's like, hey, should I buy you these 38s? I'm like, don't you dare.
When I was
that's giving up, that's surrendering. I'm not going
to
do it.
Senior in high school, I used to buy jeans in the boys department because they had 28s.
Dave in the boys department. Yeah, somehow there's a joke there.
Biting my tongue.
You guys are bad people.
All right. Well, listen, I think that's going to be a wrap for episode 32.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. This will be the last podcast for 2025. We'll be back in the new year, 2026, with episode 33. Until then, I am your host, Dave, with our other host.
Also Dave.
And our special guest, Jamie Big Smiles Schmidt.
Bye.
And until then, everyone, be safe, keep riding, and know you're appreciated.
Peace.